Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to mention a resource available to you through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's titled Answers for Today, Hell and Our Loving God on CD. It's a message I gave some time ago, but it's very appropriate for today and is available for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI, I say this message, Hell and Our Loving God, is appropriate today. I might actually say it is crucial today. A brand new book available now in bookstores. A book that takes on, head-on, the notion that we must make a decision based on the light of creation, the light of conscience, the light of Christ. We must make a decision in this lifetime. Rob Bell, in this new book, which has rocketed to best-selling status, says, "Love wins. And anyone who communicates that there is not an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ after death is communicating a God who is cruel, mean, vicious, a tormentor. Communicating a God who is loving one moment, vicious the next, the kind of God that is simply devastating, psychologically crushing." These aren't my words, these are his words. So in this book, Rob Bell takes on the historic Christian faith, a faith preached by Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, St. Augustine, Aquinas, Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, contemporaries like John MacArthur or R.C. Sproul or J.I. Packer. He's saying they're all wrong. They say it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. He says, no. If you believe that, you're believing in a cruel, vicious tormentor. Here's what he actually writes. Millions have been taught that if they don't believe, if they don't accept in the right way, that is, the way the person telling them the gospel does, and they were hit by a car and died later that same day, God would have no choice but to punish them forever in conscious torment in hell. God would, in essence, become a fundamentally different being to them in that moment of death, a different being to them forever. A loving Heavenly Father who will go to extraordinary lengths to have a relationship with them would, in the blink of an eye, become a cruel, mean, vicious tormentor. Now, let me pause for a moment and make a comment. This is not about, as Bell suggests, God changing. This is the nature of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God who has always said the same thing. Blessings for those who follow and cursings for those who rebel. And again, the reason I'm pointing this out is you have to have discernment skills because he's constantly doing a little twist. And if you're not careful, you're going to buy into this subtle little linguistic twist, sleight of hand, sleight of mind. You have to be wary. Because it's not only what he says, but how he argues for what he says. For example, he tells us that this is a view that Martin Luther himself alluded to. Here you have the icon of the Reformation suggesting there might be a second chance after death. Now, a lot of people reading that, once again, may not be reading with discernment. Because if you are reading with discernment, you'll immediately say, wait a minute. Has Rob Bell come up with something that everyone else has missed? The great students of Martin Luther's literature, they missed it, and Rob Bell found it? I don't think so. But yet, if you read what he says, here's precisely how he argues it. Martin Luther, says Rob Bell, one of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation, wrote to Hans von Rechtenberg in 1522 about the possibility that people could turn to God after death, asking, who would doubt God's ability to do that? Well, sounds like if you are just going on what Rob Bell is communicating, Martin Luther might have allowed for second chances after death. But what he does is he omits the very next sentence. Not a few paragraphs later or pages later where you need a real attention span, but the very next sentence where Martin Luther says, no one, however, can prove that he does do this. Now, I don't want to assign motives here, but I can't imagine that Rob Bell missed this. But you shouldn't miss it. You need discernment skills. You need to immediately ask the question, would everyone else other than Rob Bell have missed this? And did the icon of the Reformation really allow for a second chance after death? But even beyond all this, what about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ not only makes a statement, he makes an ironclad argument in Luke chapter 16. The rich man isn't getting a second chance. You can't read that into the story line of Jesus Christ. It simply isn't there. What is there are the enigmatic words, too late. Too late. Too late. He has made an irrevocable decision. And remember, the problem is never, as Rob Bell seems to suggest, that there's not enough light and after death we'll have more light and then we'll change our mind. No, Jesus makes it very clear. The problem is never that we don't have enough light. The problem, says Jesus, is that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So this notion that the God that we have been preaching as Orthodox evangelicals, the God who says it's appointed unto man once to die and thereafter the judgment, that God is not cruel, mean, vicious, a tormentor, as Rob Bell suggests, and worse. No, that is the God of the Bible, who has condescended to reveal himself to us. And my point in bringing all of this out is to underscore in red that today we need discernment skills more than ever. Certainly there are people who attack the gospel from without. Bill Maher or Bart Ehrman immediately come to mind. But now there are those hipster preachers who are attacking the gospel from within. Rob Bell sees himself as a central figure for his generation and for the way that evangelicals are likely to do church in the next 20 years, and he may be right about that. Maybe he is a central figure, and if that is true, it is time that we learn, and here's that word again, discernment skills. That we learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. If you read through this book, you'll find him quoting passages in the fundamentalist sense, the words on the page rather than understanding the way in which these words are used, reading the words literalistically in order to make his point as opposed to reading them for all they're worth, taking into consideration the storyline and the context. And so you as a believer need to learn not only discernment skills, but learn how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Otherwise, unfortunately, we're just going to swallow, as I said last week, the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. And this is a great big lie. It's a dangerous lie. The subtitle says, a book about heaven, hell, and the fate of every person who has ever lived. And he has a completely different take on this than Orthodox Christians have had throughout the centuries. And the thing about this, I suppose, is packaging and promotion. It is written in typical postmodern fashion, which is to say, it's a book that's very easy to read. It is a book that is seductively positioned. I mean, when you get done with it, you want to say, bravo, I agree. That's the God I want. But it's not the God of the Bible. And he's made you feel as though the Billy Grahams of the world have been communicating a vicious tormentor, when in fact all Billy Graham, as a chief exemplar, has done is preach the gospel precisely as it is presented in the Word of God. The resource I have available to you will help you understand not only the what, but the why of the gospel. It will help you understand why hell is an irrevocable reality and why it is just, and it can't be any other way. God isn't making some mistake here that he wishes he could take back. He's communicated to us in clear language exactly how it is. In Christ, has made the point emphatically. You and I need to be prepared to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. Hell is God's great compliment to the reality of human freedom, the dignity of human choice, said G.K. Chesterton. The concept of choice demands that we believe in hell. Without hell, there is no choice. And without choice, heaven would not be heaven. Heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their wills. A torture worse than hell. We'll be right back with your questions on this side of the break. Please don't touch that dial.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment. Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. Now available in softcover. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our secure website at equip.org. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study in answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumbled seekers and galvanized skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The subject of hell is not a topic we like to discuss. However, it was a doctrine that Jesus repeatedly taught during his earthly sojourn. More and more Christians are sliding into either universalism, the notion that everyone goes to heaven, or annihilationism, the idea that the souls of the unsaved simply cease to exist. In light of this shift away from Orthodox theology, Hank Hanegraaff's CD, Answers for Today, Hell and Our Loving God, gives three lines of reasoning rooted in Scripture why hell is necessary, reasons you can use with Christians and non-Christians alike. We'll rush you a copy of Answers for Today, Hell and Our Loving God as our thank you when you support the Christian Research Institute with your gift of any amount this month. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right to our callers now. Do want to mention that on tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to talk some more about Love Wins, the book by Rob Bell, and what he says about Gandhi and hell. He doesn't suppose that anyone should believe that Gandhi might experience hell. In fact, he mocks that notion. We'll talk about that on tomorrow's broadcast. Right now, let's go to the phone lines. First up is James, listening in Cleveland, Ohio, on WHKW. Hi, James.
Hi, Hank. Yeah, I had a question about Hebrews.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, because my cousin, we have to debate about that, and she's saying that scripture is saying that you could possibly lose your salvation. And I was trying to think of a way that I can explain to her that that's not what that's talking about, but I was, I wanted like to know what your interpretation of that would be.
Yeah, this refers to professing believers or professing Christians whose apostasy proves that their faith was not genuine faith. In other words, it was a said faith as opposed to a real faith, and the context bears that out. This is written to Hebrews who fall away, as you see in verse 6. In other words, a Jew who falls back into Judaism or bondage to the law, which was already fulfilled through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So it's someone who had a, as I said, said faith. They said they believed, but their apostasy demonstrated that they didn't genuinely believe. They said they believed, but they didn't have a real faith. And remember, genuine faith is not just knowing something or agreeing that something is true. It means that you trust or you put your complete faith in such a thing. And by way of analogy, you could have a medicine in your hand. You could know the medicine would cure what ails you. You could agree that it has cured millions of others before you. But unless you took it, you wouldn't demonstrate that you trusted it. You wouldn't be depending on it. And that's an analogy for what true saving faith is. It's knowledge, agreement, and trust. It's not just having knowledge or even agreeing that the knowledge is true. I mean, the demons believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and they shudder. But yet they have not trusted or are not trusting in Jesus Christ. They've made a decision in the opposite direction.
Okay, so who is it referring to when it's saying if they fall away to be brought back to repentance?
Yeah, again, to fall away there refers to a Jew or a Hebrew who falls back into Judaism or bondage to the law fulfilled already through the finished work of Jesus Christ.
So it's saying that they can't repent of that?
Well, they can repent of that, but they are subjecting Jesus Christ all over again to public disgrace, because what they are saying is, yes, we know, we agree, but we're not trusting.
Okay, we know and we agree, and as long as they think that way and they know something, it's like you know something but you won't accept it. You can say that Jesus died on the cross and I believe it, and I know that God sent Jesus to die for our sins, but you don't accept them as the Lord and Savior. You don't truly accept them as the Lord and Savior of your life.
Yeah, just think of the acronym CAT, spelt with a K, K-A-T. Knowledge, agreement or assent is the A. Trust is the T. All three are required for genuine saving faith. That's why I use that illustration of a medicine. You can know about a medicine, you could agree the medicine has cured others, but until you took it, you wouldn't demonstrate that you trusted it.
So basically, I could tell my cousin that's talking about people that know and have this knowledge but don't accept it.
Yes, that are not depending on it.
Not depending
on it. They tasted the fruit.
Okay, yeah, because I was just trying to think, because I know myself that I never believed that, but, you know, she just takes a strong stand. She thinks that it means that people can lose their salvation.
Well, be gentle in the discussion. Remember, this is an in-house debate. We can debate it vigorously.
I get a lot better understanding now and how, okay. I know how that can be said. Okay, that was a big help. Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Michael. He's listening on WHKW in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. I used to call you years ago, and I called myself Mike when I listened to you on the Buffalo station. But now sometimes I pick up the Cleveland station. That's Skip.
Well, good.
Yeah, so that's the only way I can listen to it. But, you know, especially in the wintertime, it comes in quite clearly, actually.
Well, you can also listen on Sirius 161, or you can listen to satellite radio. We're on XM 170 as well.
XM 170 and Sirius 161, eh?
Yeah.
Not that I have the satellite at the moment, but I was able to, you know, like I say, get you... You know, sometimes it fades in and fades out and all that sort of stuff. So that's the only way I can do it anyway.
Your question.
Okay, my question. Joshua fought these pagan nations, and it sounded like he didn't eat enough because he told the sun and the moon to stand still, and apparently it stood for a day. I guess the question is, what really happened? Did the earth go out of orbit? Why did Joshua ask for, you know, the earth to stand still, I guess?
Well, that's given to us in context. I mean, this is so that he could complete the task. But God gave Joshua's army sufficient daylight to complete the destruction of their enemies. And when the Bible says the sun stood still, it is obviously speaking in what's called phenomenological language. In other words, meteorologists speak of the sunrise and sunset, despite the fact that the earth rotates around the sun.
Well, the book speaks of what Joshua knew, or was knew about the planets, I guess, or something like that back in history, I assume.
Well, no, I'm saying that this is not an argument between geocentrism or heliocentrism. This is simply phenomenological language. And we don't know really exactly what is going on, to be honest with you, but we accept this as a miracle. First of all, we believe in miracles. We believe that God could create the world ex nihilo. We believe that Jesus Christ could rise from the dead. So we believe in miracles. The biblical worldview is an open-minded worldview that supposes not just natural explanations for the things that we encounter in this universe, but supernatural explanations as well. Perhaps this was a local miracle described in phenomenological language.
But I think what's confusing me here is this. Joshua, you know, he slaughtered all these people, but then the Bible says that God killed more of those people with hailstones. So it sounded to me like Joshua or those hailstones, whatever, combined. I'm not sure he really needed the earth to stand still or what.
Well, I think if you look at this, God miraculously intervened for Joshua, that is true, in such a way as to give relief from the heat of the sun, provide a violent hailstorm to defeat the enemy. But yeah, I mean, these things were all part of the process. So God intervened supernaturally by extending time so that Joshua could do what Joshua was commissioned to do, be the axe of judgment in the hands of the Lord. And again, that same axe of judgment ultimately would fall on the Israelites, as Joshua actually pretended at one point. He understood that if the Israelites followed the pagan, detestable practices where they burned their sons and daughters in the fire, offered them to Baal and Molech and the like, that they too would be vomited out of the land, just as the people who were in the land before them. So the point, and this was a point I was making earlier with respect to who God is, God says blessings for those who follow and cursings for those who disobey. And he doesn't do it capriciously. He does it with purpose, that purpose being resolute and undergirded by infinite love and infinite justice. I think we all too often have a diminished view of God and an exalted view of man. And we do not have every single converging factor in our minds as the judge of the universe does. One thing we do know with absolute certainty in the greatest size, when God renders judgment, we will know beyond the peradventure of a doubt that his judgment is perfect, perfect in righteous judgment, perfect in loving judgment, perfect in mercy and grace. And therefore, not only in this life, but in the life to come, we know that the judge of the universe will do right. That's the one thing we can depend on. We don't have all the answers, but we know we can trust God in the midst of our whys. That's why the Bible is so important for us, in that it reveals enough of the nature of God so that we can trust him in the midst of all of our whys. We can't try to reposition the Bible or rewrite the Bible. We can only accept it as it is. Again, God has revealed enough for us to know that he is trustworthy. We're going to be right back. We've got some callers that want to ask a question about Rob Bell. We'll answer those questions on the other side of the break. Please don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Does everyone go to heaven? Are the souls of the unsaved simply annihilated? What do you believe about hell? The doctrine of hell is frightening and about the furthest thing possible from today's attitude of tolerance. But as Christians, we know that we can't choose to believe only the doctrines we like. You have to ask yourself, if there is no eternal torment, if the unsaved will either be annihilated or end up in heaven, why would we need a Savior? Hank Hanegraaff's CD, Answers for Today, Hell and Our Loving God, gives clear biblical reasons why hell is in fact a reality, and also why it's necessary. When you support the Christian Research Institute this month, we'll send you the audio CD, Hell and Our Loving God, as our gift to you. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after this.
Do you worry that someone will ask you a question about your faith that you can't answer? Have you tried to defend your faith but gotten lost in confusing language and theology? Do you struggle with times of spiritual doubt yourself? On Guard by William Lane Craig is a one-stop how to defend your faith manual that will equip you to advance faith conversations deliberately, applying straightforward, cool-headed arguments. You'll discover not just what you believe, but why you believe, and how being on guard with the truth has the power to change lives forever. Learn to defend your faith with reason and precision. Order On Guard from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Information age has arrived with many benefits, but it also has a dark side. Technology capable of delivering information both conveniently and rapidly has fostered a condition in some users known as information overload. As defenders of the Christian faith, we must be prepared to shepherd wayward travelers in cyberspace through the universe of information that the new technologies have wrought. Learn to be discerning in this age of information when you read The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom by James Patrick Holding in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, just go to equip.org or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. Once again, here's the host of The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up is Bill, listening on KSIV St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Bill.
Sorry, it's Dell.
Oh, hi, Dell.
Hi. I was listening to you speak about Rob Bell, and you're calling him a fundamentalist. Well, you're saying he has a fundamentalist viewpoint of the Bible.
No, I'm saying he reads the Bible in a fundamentalist fashion, in a very literalistic fashion. So he asks questions like, people in hell can communicate with people in bliss. The rich man is in the fire and he can talk. He's surviving. He thrives on ambiguities and uncertainty. He's perpetually asking questions, but at the end of the day, he's making dogmatic assertions against orthodoxy.
Well, I don't know. I guess I, I, I guess I just sort of have a problem with that. I mean, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and you know, when people are looking for a church, they hear fundamental in the name. You know, they just say, "Oh, that I heard that guy, heard Hank talk about that other guy on his show." And
well, it's a point well taken. It's a point well taken, but
nothing like that guy.
Right, I understand that, and a point well taken. Here's my overarching point, though, Bill or Dell. The issue here is that words are not univocal; they're equivocal.
Absolutely.
And so what I am saying here simply is that there are fundamentalists on the left and fundamentalists on the right, but they have something in common. They're not reading the text in the sense in which it's intended. They're reading their own dogmatic assertions into the text. So they're reading it literalistically rather than reading it as inspired literature, reading it in
the sense in which it's intended.
I mean,
like I said, we're independent fundamental Baptists. Matter of fact, we dropped fundamental off of the name of our church just because so many people are put off by it.
Yeah.
But even so, I mean, we do not read the church or do not read the Bible word for word. I mean, we read it word for word, but not independently. We read the Bible in context, in congruent with the rest of the Bible. I mean, we back up what we read with the rest of the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. Let me give you an example here, and I'll just read this from Rob Bell's book. I just turned to it. And he's talking about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, weeping because he realizes that they just don't get it. They're unable to see just what their insistence on violent revolt is going to cost them. He continually warns them how tragic the suffering will be if they actually try to fight Rome with the methods and mindset of Rome. When he warns of the coming wrath, then, this is a very practical, political, heartfelt warning to his people to not go the way they're intent on going. The Romans, he keeps insisting, will crush you. The tragedy in all of this is that his warnings came true. In the great revolt that began in 66, the Jews took up arms against the Romans, who eventually crushed them, grinding the stones of their temple into dust. Because of this history, it's important that we don't take Jesus's very real and prescient warnings about judgment then out of context, making them about someday somewhere else. That wasn't what he was talking about. So here he's saying that Jesus was just talking about how the Romans would crush the Jews if they tried to resist them, not talking about the coming wrath. So he's reading this in a literalistic fashion rather than in the sense intended by the Lord. Yes, they would be crushed, but this is not just talking about temporary crushing. It's talking about much, much more.
Right.
And you get that out of the context not only of this passage, but the overall panoply of Scripture.
Right. Well, I just, like I said, I just wanted to call in and voice my concern about that is all. I do appreciate your ministry. I listen to you a lot. As a matter of fact, I've been listening to you for 6 years. I don't always agree with you, but I do appreciate your ministry, and I hope God blesses you. He continues to bless your ministry.
Well, I hope God blesses you as well, Dell, and thank you so much for calling today.
All right, thank you.
Bless you. Bye. I want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Joshua. He's listening in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Joshua.
Hi, Hank. It seems in his it seemed to be pretty clear in his interview with Robert Schuller that Billy Graham was supporting the water mercy doctrine, and I want to know if you could speak on that, including how that affects his credit, the credit of his teaching. How you feel about Billy Graham and his teaching, and also that teaching of wider mercy?
Well, it depends on what you mean. What do you mean by the doctrine of wider mercy? I mean, are you reading into that that Billy Graham believes that there's a second chance after death?
It's been a while since I've looked at it, but I have not only listened to but also read the transcripts of that interview with Robert Schuller. And I didn't personally question that Billy Graham was saying that there would be salvation come to people that did not have any knowledge of Christ or the gospel.
Right. Well, I can't speak directly to what Billy Graham said or didn't say because I'm not privy to the information specifically that you're referring to. But let me say in principle, the notion of universalism, I don't think is a notion in any sense communicated by Billy Graham's message or his method. It certainly is possible that Billy Graham is correctly communicating that God gives everyone the light of creation and the light of conscience, and if they respond to that, they will get further light. But not everyone has the kind of light that we do, and we can look to the Old Testament as a reference for that. We cannot suppose that Abraham had the light that you and I did, because Abraham looked forward to Jesus Christ through types and shadows. He looked through a mirror darkly. We see by looking back at the cross with perfect 20/20 hindsight. He did not have that kind of hindsight. He looked forward darkly through images, through types and shadows, ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that's why we don't need the types and shadows anymore. So it is true that not everyone has the kind of light that we do in the 21st century. But
right,
it is important to note that the official website for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association plainly says that all religions do not lead to God and that Jesus is the only way. So,
okay, do you believe that Billy Graham believes that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. That's what I was wanting to know. Because it sure did confuse me when he seemed to be, clearly stating otherwise, but that's what I wanted to know, if what you believe that he believed, and just to clarify, you do not believe in universalism.
I do not believe in universalism. No, I don't believe in annihilationism either, and I certainly do not believe in a second chance after death. And the reason I do not believe that is there's ample evidence not to hold that view. In other words, if the Bible lent some credence to it, I would be against it. Maybe it's a very seductive idea. It's a wonderful idea. I mean, it's an idea that we would all love, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And so I'm bowing my knee to God's revelation of himself. If you look, for example, at 2 Peter 3, 9 through 10, God doesn't change. He told us from the beginning that the offer to receive forgiveness would not last forever. Anyway, here's how Peter puts it. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. So the idea but after you die, there's still an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ simply is not communicated either here or anywhere else in Scripture. And when Rob Bell uses Martin Luther as a pretext, you better look very closely at what Martin Luther said, because that's not what Martin Luther says. He completely twists Martin Luther to make him say what he really didn't say. And it's very obvious that this is not what Martin Luther's intention was, not because you read volumes and volumes of Martin Luther, because he makes it clear in the very next sentence. So he's taken someone out of context to make him say what he wants him to say rather than what he really said.
Hank, thank you very much for your answer. I wanted to know where you stand on that. I'm glad we're clear. God bless you. I got to go into school now.
Okay. Appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
When considering the entire span of Billy Graham's ministry, and the explanations given subsequent to the Shuler interview, which acknowledged that Jesus Christ is the only way, one should not think that somehow or other Billy Graham has slipped into liberalism. This would be unfair to Billy Graham and his legacy and his ministry. Rob Bell is very clear in terms of what he believes. He's not mincing any words. He's saying that if you believe that God doesn't give a second chance after death, then you're believing in a monster. And he makes that clear because he says, if you believe in that kind of a God, you believe in a cruel, mean, vicious tormentor. And he even says this, quote, if there was an earthly father who was like that, we would call the authorities. If there was an actual human dad who was that volatile, we would contact child protection services immediately. If God can switch gears like that, switch entire modes of being that quickly, that raises a thousand questions about being, about whether a being like this could ever be trusted, let alone be good. So if you don't believe in a God of second chances after death, then you believe in a God that couldn't be trusted, a God that couldn't be good. You believe in a God who's loving one moment, vicious the next. Again, not my words, but Rob Bell's words. So if you're Anselm or Augustine or Aquinas or Luther or Wesley or Knox or Zwingli, then you believe in a God who's loving one moment, vicious the next. Pretty dogmatic. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk some more about this, take more of your questions right here on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The debate between human freedom and determinism has been raging for centuries. Gain a biblical perspective on human nature in John S. Hammett's article entitled Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism. The information age has many benefits, but it also has a dark side, information overload. Learn how to navigate through cyberspace with James Patrick Holding's article, The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom. Other topics include problems with the gold plates of the Book of Mormon, the legacy of G.K. Chesterton and Dorothy Sayers, Jesus, the begotten Son of the Father, and much more, as well as the insightful Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI.
or go online to equip.org.